Wherever Jesus is leading us, it may be hard, it may be troublesome at times, but he is always leading us to a place of victory. It's like my brother who is now home with the Lord in all of his books that I have. He wrote, victory is a position, it's not an attitude.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, and do this, from his study in the Epistle of Romans. Now, Pastor Bill.
Let us walk decently, or let us walk properly, as in the day, meaning like people who are the light of the world, not in reveille, which is that, you know, wild partying and orgies and all the rest of that, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, strife, envy. Isn't it amazing that lust, strife, envy is put on the same level as drunkenness? Interesting, isn't it? Now listen, you have the right way to walk and you have the wrong way to walk there. He tells us to walk the right way. And then in verse 14, this is the verse that should capture our hearts this morning. This is how everything is done in the Christian life. It says, but put on, that means literally clothe yourself, put on the Lord. Say those words. Put on the Lord. That's where you need to stop. Put on the Lord. He is our master. Amen. He's our owner. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. J.B. Phillips' translation says it this way. Let us be Christ's men from head to toe and give no chance to the flesh to have its fling. Now listen, we are already in Christ because anyone who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. When we become in Christ, all that he is becomes ours. When God sees us, he sees us now in Christ. Amen? But we know that. But what does it mean when it says to put on Christ? That's sanctification, isn't it? That's that process of where we walk in this world and we go and we grow into Christ likeness. But that's what we need. See, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ is to put on a person. It's to put on his character. Amen? Oh, that's so vital right now. Listen, the example to us, the saints of God, is our Savior. What did Paul write in Philippians 1:21? He said, for me to live is Christ. It's not Paul. Oh, no. I want to live for him. I want to be like him. I want everything I do to please him. See, that's what it means when we say we put on Christ Jesus, the Lord. Now listen, is he the Lord? He's our model. He's our example, really, for everything. He's the perfect example. How about the example for marriage, guys? Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. And it tells us how. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What did Jesus, the new commandment that is part of the vision statement of Calvary Chapel, this church, he told us he's our example of love. And there in the upper room, what did Jesus say? In John 13, 34-35, he says this, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And here's the new part. Love one another as I've loved you, Jesus says. Jesus said, and by this, the whole world will know that you're my disciples. You see, if you want to know how to love one another, you have to look at Jesus. If you want to know how to have a good marriage, you have to look at Jesus. If you want to know how to walk his walk, then you have to make his walk our walk, amen, or your walk. What does it say in 1 John 2:6? He who says that he abides, lives in, draws strength from, is in union with, he who says that he abides in him, in Jesus, ought to walk just as he walked. When you put on Christ, you walk the way he walked, amen? Oh, no, look, you do. Listen, when you really put Jesus Christ, when you put him on as Lord, he owns you. He's the master. He's the owner. He's the one that tells us what to do. When you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you start saying, Lord, here I am. I'm a living sacrifice. Whatever you want me to do, here I am. Here's what happens. All of a sudden, you start walking as he walked, meaning you see the needs, you see the hurt, you see all those things. Remember what it says? It says how Jesus went about doing what? Good. Healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. And when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no longer our will. It becomes his will. And we bring victory and life to other people. Now listen, put on the Lord, and just stop right there. Put on the Lord. If you don't make him your Lord, well, he's my Savior, but is he your Lord? You follow me. You can't have it either way. It has to be both. You're not dressed if you haven't put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? He said in Luke 9:23, Jesus said, listen, if anyone desires to come after me, if you want to come with me, if you want to travel with me, he says, here's the conditions. Here are the conditions. He said, you must do the hardest thing in all the world that you in your mind. You must deny yourself. That means to disown yourself. In other words, I own you now. I'm your master. I'm your Lord. I'll tell you where to go, when to go, and how to go. He says, you have to deny yourself. And now the command there, to take up his cross and what? Daily, it says, and follow him. See, that's what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember there in the upper room, Jesus was about to depart to his Father right before he was to be betrayed there by Judas. It says that all authority had been given unto him by God the Father in heaven and upon earth. All authority was his now. It says he loved his disciples. He loved them until the very end, to the uttermost. And he who had all authority, what did Jesus do? He knelt down, he girded himself up with a towel, and he washed all the disciples' feet. Now listen carefully. Listen to what Jesus said in John 13:12. And when Jesus had finished washing their feet and taken his garments, he sat down again. He said to them, meaning the disciples, do you know what I have done to you? And Jesus said, you call me master. You call me Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and your master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash another's feet. For I have given you, listen to what he says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. In other words, I want you to copy my example. That's how you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent him greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now, we're not blessed if we know them. We're blessed if we do them. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't ever do the things I ask you to do? What is he asking us to do there? Are we to gird ourselves up and get a bunch of buckets and wash each other's feet? That's not a New Testament ordinance. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm your Lord, if I'm your master, there is nothing too low or humiliating for you to do. Amen? No service. If the King of Kings did that, if God, the God-man, did that, how can we not copy his example? Amen? You know, what I would suggest is you look down and see if you have a towel this morning, because if you do, you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the main way to walk through this life and really put on the Lord Jesus Christ, is to take his yoke. That is the greatest thing that a believer can do. You remember in Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, verse 28, when Jesus gave that incredible invitation, he said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will do something for you. I will give you rest. Now, we know when he says, come unto me, yes, sir, that is definitely an invitation for salvation, but really it's also an invitation more for discipleship as well. And he goes on and he says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, this is more than salvation. This is more than discipleship. This is Jesus saying, listen, I need you to come and take my yoke. I'm going to heaven. I'm going back to where I came from. I have to have people who say, I am Lord and I am master. You have to yoke yourself up with me. Amen? Amen. You remember how in the natural you'd yoke up? Remember, there would be an old ox and then there would be a young ox. And who was doing the training? The old ox, and the young one was doing the learn. That's what Jesus said. He said, you've got to yoke up with me. You've got to learn from me. He says, listen, the word there, take my yoke, is a command. But here's the thing. The command, or the thing that we're to take, is the lowly heart of Christ. If that lowly heart of Christ dwells in you, and if you're a believer, it certainly does, that is the only way that you can really put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have the lowly heart of Christ, we do, living in us. We possess it. But does the lowly heart of Christ possess us? You see, Paul told us about Jesus' heart. He says, listen, he says in Galatians 4:6, you're sons, and God has sent forth his spirit of his son, the spirit of his son, the spirit of Jesus, into your hearts, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. That cry where we say Papa or Daddy. Oh man, listen, you know, Jesus' invitation, he says, I want you to take my heart. The only way to win the lost is to take my heart. The only way to win in this life is you have to do it with my heart. Your heart's not good enough. Amen? That's how you really put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I mean, think about it. A heart that has never walked in unbelief. Wow, what a blessing. When you put on the Lord, you don't have to walk in unbelief. Amen? He's never been defeated. Now, whenever you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you take his lowly heart, you know what happens to you? You start seeing everything differently in your life because Jesus' heart is others-centered, not self-centered. Amen? And all of a sudden, it's not about you anymore. It's not about what I want all the time. You know, it's about Jesus, what do you want? You remember there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 35, when Jesus was out there preaching, and it says, and Jesus went about all the cities, the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news and the kingdom. Listen to what he did. And healing every sickness, healing every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved, or literally his heart was moved with compassion for them. And the reason? Because they were weary, because they were scattered, because they were like sheep having no shepherd. Now listen, you would think that if every person in Fort Worth was healed and every disease was gone and every hospital emptied, that everybody, we'd be rejoicing like crazy. Well, we would, but Jesus wasn't. Why? Because Jesus knows the spiritual condition of every person. In other words, he said, oh, look at them. Oh, yeah, these people are healed now, but look at those. Look at their hearts. Look at the people. They're scattered. They're weary. That means they're beaten down in their life. They don't know which way to go. They don't have a shepherd. Listen, when you have the heart of Christ, you know what happens? You start loving and seeing people like Jesus does. In other words, like I told the first service, you can come in here and, you know, you look at a person and go, that is the happiest person in all the world. Look at that smile. Man, they're just energetic this morning. Oh, They, you know, God, they're on fire. And the Lord speaks to your heart. And he goes, no, look at them. Look at their true condition. They've contemplated suicide all week long. Matter of fact, this afternoon, that's what she wants to do. You see, when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, when you take his lowly heart, you know what happens? All of a sudden, when you're walking in him, you start to see things the way he sees them. Do you understand? And then you can go up to that person, and there they are, and you're terrified to do so, but you know in your heart the Lord has spoken to you, and you go up to that person, and you say, listen, the Lord shows me that you're contemplating suicide. And you see the smile and the brightness of their face. You see all of a sudden their true countenance. And they say, how do you know? Well, the reason that you know is because now you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? You've put on his heart. You feel like he feels. You see like he sees. You hurt like he hurts. You're in a grocery store line. I've done this so many times, and so have you. You're in a grocery store line, and you see the mom or the dad or maybe the little boy that has been sent by his grandmother or whatnot to buy the groceries, and he has that little whole sack full of dimes and nickels and quarters, and he's trying to count them all out, and you're next in line, and you're watching him and say, well, you're going to have to put this back, or what, you don't have enough money. And the Lord says, buy their groceries.
Buy them right now. Matter of fact, take them back and buy them meat. Buy them vegetables. Buy them fruit. Fill up that basket. Then take them home. Amen. Listen, what is that? It's the lowly heart of Christ. And all of a sudden, his heartbeat becomes your heartbeat. And you start seeing things in the spirit the way you should be seeing them. That's what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, learn from me. In other words, become a student of Jesus' heart. I mean, listen, his heart left heaven. He didn't have to leave. He left of his own volition to be born of a virgin on this lousy, stinking world, a world that was going to reject him and hate him. That's the heart of the Lord. I mean, when you start thinking about Jesus' heart, I mean, listen, he tasted death for every person. He tasted death for you, and he tasted for me, and he did so gladly. His heart is a heart that after they had beaten him and hung him up on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Whenever you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, everything changes. It doesn't mean you don't have warfare. It doesn't mean that you don't hurt. It doesn't mean the enemy subsides and doesn't attack you anymore. No, that doesn't mean that at all. But Jesus told us, he said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Here it is. Let your heart be not troubled, and neither let it, meaning your heart, be afraid. Why? You took my yoke. You took my lowly heart. Is the heart of our Savior troubled right now? No, Jesus is not in fear at anything. It says in 1 Peter 1:21, for this you were called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. Here he is again, that you should follow his steps. Listen. When you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you start following his steps, when that occurs, that's when you start experiencing the very heartbeat of Christ. That's when you start all of a sudden living and doing the things that God has you to do. You're going to love like he loves you, and you're growing into that. I know that we're all different stages in our walk, but you grow into that kind of love and that kind of forgiveness and so forth. But when you follow him, that's what activates the heart of Christ. If he's down the road and you're not with him, how can that activate his heart? But when we're with him, when we're walking with him, when we're traveling with him, oh, listen, everything changes. And you may say, well, Bill, that's not happening. Well, listen to me. It will happen if you'll just agree with him, if you'll let it happen. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also marked out, he chose, he predestined to be conformed to the very image of his son. That's you. Listen, God says, I chose you, I marked you out, and you know what? You will be conformed into the image of my son. You will be. But you know, you have to obey what he's saying. The Bible tells us this process of sanctification in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we are being transformed from what? We're being transformed, that's a process, into the same image, meaning Jesus, Christ's likeness, from glory to glory to glory to glory. You know, like I always say, maybe some of you are stuck in glory. You're not moving to the next glory. That means whenever you move from glory to glory, you move from one adventure with Jesus to another adventure with Jesus, and more into Christ likeness and more challenges that lie ahead. That's exactly what that means. It's that wonderful process. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key. Don't make provision for the flesh, the lust of the flesh. Don't do that. You know what the word provision means there? Let me read this to you. It says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. The word provision there in the Greek means this. It means to plan ahead, lay up ahead. Don't plan ahead to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Don't do that. Here's what you need to lay up for: his presence. Say, Lord, it's your presence that I want. I want provision for your presence. That's what I want. Listen, on the day of trial, you know, if you lay up something at your home or whatever that you're laying up for your future lust of the flesh, you're going to get in trouble. Lust of the flesh is never satisfied. Never. you feed it just a little bit, it'll come and it's so greedy, it'll come and try to devour you. Listen, how do we defeat the lust of the flesh? Galatians 5:16, the command and the promise. Walk in the Spirit, that is the commandment, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, if there's ever been an hour, if there's ever been a moment in the history of Christendom for the church corporate to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is today. It is right now. To where we sell out. Not to this world. Not that doesn't mean you can't go boating and have fun and do. That's not what it's talking about. Jesus went to weddings. Amen. God help me this morning. No, listen. You know, whenever we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what the Bible says in Romans 8:37? It says, yet in all these things, peril, death, sword, famine, whatever it might be, angels, principalities, powers, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Listen, we are a people that are undefeatable. Doesn't mean we won't go through heartache and trials and tribulation. We are undefeatable. Only if you see that, because Jesus is undefeatable. And whenever you put on the Lord, you're putting on total victory. Amen. What does the Bible tell us in 2 Corinthians 2:14? It says, in Christ who, what? Is always leading us in triumph. Leading us, that means in triumph, means in one continual ongoing victory. Wherever Jesus, as we follow him, wherever Jesus is leading us, it may be hard, it may be troublesome at times, but he is always leading us to a place of victory. It's like my brother who is now home with the Lord in all of his books that I have. He wrote, victory is a position, it's not an attitude. That is a true word, and I've never forgotten that. I quote that like it's mine, but it's his, okay? Victory is an attitude. I fight, you fight, loved one. Right now, whatever you're fighting, I don't care what it is, you are fighting from a point of not defeat, but a victory. The devil who is against you and everybody else who may be against you, they are fighting from a point of defeat. Why? Because you are in the one who has overcome this world. Amen? And no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And who can bring a charge against God's own elect? No. Listen, you are more than conquerors. For whatsoever, it says in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born or whosoever is born of God, whoever has asked Jesus to be the very Lord of their life overcometh the world. Overcometh the world. Think about that. Because you're in the one who has overcome this world that we live in. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And who is he who overcomes the world? He that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Listen. It's time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're going home. But listen to me. Time is short. It is high time to awake out of our sleep. Wake up. Wake up, sleepy Christian. Wake up. Let him put upon you that mantle of our Lord, where you walk truly as the light, where you truly are that city that sits upon a hill that cannot be hidden, where you shine. And as your light shines, men see your good deeds, they glorify our Father in heaven. You are a chosen people. God did not make a mistake when he chose you, selected you, saved you. He is not through with you. He who began a good work in you, he's going to complete it until the very day of Christ. One way or another, you're going to be conformed. Either you relent or he will take care of you. Amen? Don't fight the Lord. He is a consuming fire. Do you understand? No, don't fight the Lord. He knows how, listen, he knows how to correct you. He knows how to chasten his children. He doesn't chasten or discipline children of darkness, only children of light.
Thanks everyone for listening to the broadcast today. Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with more from his Romans series, and we trust he'll tune in once again. May the Lord bless you today, and so long for now.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.